good news, everyone!
Time for fun!
It's time for another episode of Blessing of Frost, a World of Warcraft podcast hosted by Magic and Kern.
Hey there, my name is Kern, and welcome to, wow, like, yes. Another episode of another. Blessing of Frost.
There's so many of them.
There's now 23. This is episode 23.
23. That's an awesome number.
Do you like that number?
It's higher than 20.
It is higher than 20. It is also one of the lost numbers.
Really?
Yes.
I swear I cared. Nope, I don't care.
And as you lovely people can tell, with me as always is Magic.
Yes, that's me. How are you doing this evening, Kern?
I'm doing pretty well. I had chocolate just before the podcast.
And I certainly have not today. The sky is falling.
Sucker.
Yeah, that's too bad. I haven't had any chances. You know, I don't buy it very often. That's the issue. Only when it's gifted to me.
Oh, that is not... What kind of a chocolate person are you?
I don't know.
Clearly I'm not a good one.
I'm a person made of flesh and blood and not chocolate, unlike you. Are you a chocolate person?
I am definitely a chocolate person. I'm quite tasty, thank you.
Wonderful.
All right. Anyway, we do have a guest scheduled for the podcast. However... given that she lives on the West Coast, and given that we are on the East Coast, and given that we were planning to record it starting at 6:45 on Monday evening, she's not here yet, but she will be, and it's a good guest. Hooray! She will be joining us for Guild Tab and General Chat.
Stick around.
Stick around to find out who our mystery guest is.
Yes. So, I guess we move on to War Master. Did you have anything exciting happen this week?
I did. I quite enjoyed my week, actually. I got to raid with Choice. I went with them on their Wednesday raid, and it was a lot of fun to see a lot of old familiar faces again. I just had a very good time. That said, it sort of brought up this glaring error that I had not ever foreseen.
Fantastic error of hilariousness.
In this wonderful planned out plan, yeah. I guess, that glaring error is the possibility, slim though it may be, of doing Throne of the Four Winds with two different guilds in the same reset.
Awesome.
As it would happen, that's exactly what happened.
So how many attempts of Throne of the Four Winds bosses did you have this week?
Oh boy. Well, on Tuesday with Apotheosis, we raided, but we didn't touch Throne. On Wednesday with Choice, we raided, cleared BOT, did Magma and ODS, and then went to do Conclave, got Conclave down on the first shot, and then played with Alec here, pulled him, I think it was twice before we called it a raid because it was already midnight. And then Thursday with Apotheosis, I spent 3 hours wiping on Heroic Conclave. 23 yes. Wipes. Good times.
Awesome.
And then on Sunday, with Apotheosis, we went in and we worked on more Heroic Conclave. Excellent. Hooray. And then today's technically, when we're recording this, is Monday. So I have a raid with Choice after I finish recording this. And I know Alec here is still up. But whether or not we'll actually go play with him, I don't really know. So, I mean, out of... the 5 nights that I could potentially raid, I may be spending 4 of them, or parts of 4 of them, in Throne of the Four Winds.
So you could spend the majority of the days of your week in Throne of the Four Winds.
Possibly the majority of my waking hours at this point.
Oh, good.
This is through no one's fault but my own, but that's a lot of Throne in a single week. And especially when you throw in the fact that we worked on Heroic Conclave and Apotheosis last Sunday as well. So from Sunday to Sunday, that's a lot of Throne.
Yep. And it's your own fault. Way to go, champion.
I know. I feel like such a champ.
A smart person. Yep.
Wow. Like, no, that's seriously. You. It never even dawned on me that we might go play in Throne. Like, and it's dumb because I've like looked at Choice's logs and I obviously know what Apotheosis is up to, and it just never dawned on me, like, oh wow, I might actually have to go to Conclave.
Well, that's
and Alec here.
Unfortunate for you.
That said, I feel like I performed very well on Alec here, and on Conclave. They gave me a bobo job on Conclave. Like, I basically just stood there on Anshul's platform with Fugara just healing. And that
Sweet.
was fantastic. I'm like, okay, done.
Take it.
But on Alihir, it was really interesting because I was in a different spot than I normally am.
You weren't with the main tank?
No, I was one spot to the right, which is a spot I've never been in before. I have previously been two spots to the right of the main tank, but one spot over is kind of new to me. But let me tell you what, I am a champ because I blew every cooldown I could, dealing with electrocutes, dealing with like when the tank gets electrocuted, when delaying the wind burst and all that.
Oh, I was gonna
I
say
didn't.
electrocute. Are you sure you're talking about the same boss?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't get wind blasted or wind bursted off or any of that crap. I was a champ at that fight. I was like one of the last people standing on each attempt.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Let's see. Apart from that, I made lots of money.
Money's good.
Money is awesome. I transferred to Skywall on the Baby Pally on the Monday, and in that time, I've made approximately 22,000 gold.
Solid.
Yeah, it's pretty
What
sweet.
from?
Let's see, a Hurricane card
The price on that went down a lot recently, didn't it?
on Elder Thalass it did, but not on Skywall.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, I mean it's a more expensive server in general because I think it's a lower population than ET.
Gotcha.
So I had a lot of good times with that. Plus they're very achievement centric over there. So there's always a lot of desire for mini pets and the like. I did a whatchamacallit, call to arms, the healer call to arms on the baby pally at one point, and I got in my mysterious satchel or whatever, I got something called an enchanted broom that was BOE, and I'm like, what is this? And I look it up, and it's apparently one of the Horde Argent Tournament pets,
Oh boy.
and I'm like, oh, this could go for a lot. So I run to our AH, and once you know, one of our guildies, Takari, already has one up there, and I'm like, crap. So, but and he had it up for like 3,000. I'm like, oh well, okay. Let's not undercut him. Let's see what this is going for on Skywall. Well, I sold it on Skywall for about 5K.
Ooh, jeez.
Yeah,
That's
and
ridiculous.
every so often when you're mining, you have a chance of getting an Elementium Geode. It's also a mini pet.
Interesting.
And so I was mining, and I
Another one,
got
huh?
one of those, and I was like, huh. Well, how much is this going for over on ET? And on ET, it's going for like 600 gold. On Skywall, I sold that for over 2K.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
That's a lot to pay for a pet. I could never imagine paying that much for anything like that.
I'm telling you, Skywall is a bunch of achievement whores. And yeah, so I did that, and because the baby Pally is a scribe, I like bought a bunch of cheap herbs on ET and milled them and made them into cards and sold all that on Skywall. Meanwhile, at the same time, I had already made a volcano deck on ET, and I sold that card for something like
Over here,
8K,
over
6K.
there.
Yeah, on ET. So
Oh.
yeah, on ET I now have a comfortable amount of money, and on Skywall I now have a comfortable amount of money. So I'm pretty pleased.
Well, that's always a fantastic thing. Dealing with, and you don't have to farm for a little bit, and you don't have to worry about like one entire aspect of, which can be a slight annoyance in the game.
Like every 3 or 4 weeks, I just sit down and I make a bunch of like mana potions, potions of concentration, volcanic potions and stuff. It's really nice to like, I don't need to worry about going to pick flowers or what have you. I can just, buy the herbs and then make the pots and all that.
Yeah, so that works.
Yeah, so that was basically my week. Had a good week. The week's not quite over for me yet. Looking forward to my next raid with Choice.
Yes, before the so the last raid before the reset, I guess.
Before the reset, yeah.
So I guess that's technically part of this week.
Yeah, technically.
Yeah.
How about
Cool.
yourself?
I don't remember a ton of what I even did this week.
Shocker.
Yeah. I guess I raided on the mage, And actually, I just thought about it. I'm excited because the Midsummer Fire Festival is soon, I guess next week.
Yeah.
And it is the last one I need for the meta.
Get out, really?
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited. Especially because I was not shelling out the money for the extra speed flying. So that's the big bonus. I do love, for some reason, Proto Drakes are actually my favorite. And so I've loved my red Proto Drake, and it's easily my favorite mount. But the purple one looks pretty awesome, too. So I'm not sure. I haven't decided yet which mount to choose is my name.
But both will be 310 speed.
True. But which one will look cooler is the question.
Probably the red. Everybody's got the purple one. Except you, apparently.
Yeah, except me. Well, everyone. I feel like a fair number of people have the red one as well.
Yeah, but it was a bit harder, because you just couldn't get some of the achievements. Like, who wants to go back to the Oculus? I mean, granted, some people in our guild just did that. Like, Tia, Megs, Wox, they all just went back to Oculus this weekend
Champions.
And got, yeah, and got their Drakes.
Well, that's good.
So you finally did get the toothpick?
Yes. Well, I think I got that when it happened. No, what I hadn't gotten was the, I think it was the Squashling.
The
was
what?
What I missed for Halloween.
The Squashling? What? Oh,
the Sinister. Isn't that the Sinister?
Oh, the Sinister Squashling. I heard Squashline.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I had the helm, or I like didn't have the helm, or then did have. I'm not sure. Somebody weird. But I was just missing that from Halloween and all of the Midsummer. And then I stopped playing the Mage over the summer, I guess, and then started playing the Death Knight.
Right.
So much for that, and so I missed it.
Wait, so you've done Noble Garden, you've done all of those?
Yep, all done, except for Flame Warden.
Well, you, my friend, are in for a treat.
Yeah, I just looked at that, and it's funny because it only looks like six when you click on the meta, and then it's like, oh wait, no, underneath the Fires of Azeroth, and then under each of the ones there is just the insanely long list of stupid fires that you gotta go to.
It is craptastic.
It looks awful. I mean, I'm glad because you couldn't fly. So
oh yeah, yeah.
That's
you're
kind of
you're lucky now.
Deal. Oh yeah. So I'm counting my blessings with that one, but it still looks like a really obnoxiously long list.
Yeah. It. I wonder if. I mean, I tried to redo it most years, at least on one tune, so that I could get either XP or gold.
I remember you saying it earns a fair amount of gold to actually go through all of them.
At the time, it did. At the time, I think it netted you about 1,000 gold or so, which is nothing
which is
to
awesome.
Sneeze at. But nowadays, 1,000 gold?
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, it's pretty much 1,000 gold that I wasn't going to have previously. I still don't think it's worth it if I don't need it on a tune. Like, I couldn't imagine doing it on Magic and any other tune.
Yeah.
If I wanted the meta, but... I'm certainly happy about 1,000 gold. I'll take it.
Strangely enough, my paladin is a flame warden. It's like
really?
I've gone out of my way not to do any of the seasonal stuff on Madrana, but because I had done the fires or of Azeroth or whatever,
mm-hmm.
It was just super easy for me to finish off the achievement. So she's a flame warden along with Hand of Adal, you know, Astral Walker, Defender of a Shattered World.
Right.
You know what my other pally is?
What's that?
The Patient.
Wow.
I'm so sad.
That's amazing.
I love my titles. I'm so sad that I don't have a Hand of Adal on that one.
See, it's always rough because for... I don't even know what title Madge has. I don't think there's anything phenomenal. But,
the Patient.
Yeah, probably. He's either the Patient or... I don't even know what other titles he could have. I'm lucky because Lone has Of the Nightfall.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, when we ran that.
Oh, that Zerg.
Yeah, when we Zerged
that was
it,
awful.
Which was... fantastic, because I got a title.
Yeah,
so
and you're wait, let me find Guardian Spirit or something. It's
not
on your bar.
No, I think I missed. Well, I was not clicking it, I think, for the first few. It was not a proud moment.
No, it wasn't. I was just like, I cannot believe this is who I choose to spend my game time with.
Thanks.
Anytime,
so,
buddy.
Yeah, so that was... So at least I have that title. Anyway, off of that randomness. I've leveled my paladin a bit up to 63 as of this recording.
Congrats.
And that's been going well, thank you. And I've been keeping it relatively even. The idea is to run paladin, death knight, warrior next season for arenas and threes, and Foggy's been leveling his warrior. And I think we're pretty even right now, and I'm trying to just keep up with it. It's tough because a lot of my time has been taken up by things other than WoWing recently, but I've been trying to stay close, and it's been successful so far. The problem is, so I've been tanking for the insta queues because they're fantastic.
Yeah.
But then Fog wants to do like Battlegrounds, which I'd love to do as well, but I have almost zero holy gear. And so I've been starting to like try and pick up holy gear and like look on the auction house from some garbage, but I've still only got like 10 pieces. So I'm like rolling through the battleground with like 10 pieces of holy gear in my holy spec, and it's just sad.
I can definitely see that. The idea of you playing a holy paladin just, yeah.
Oh man, I'm going to wreck you eventually. I'm so excited. You know, that was the
Not gonna
original
wreck me.
idea of starting a paladin.
To heal on the paladin. I don't
Yes.
understand
Yeah.
why would anybody do such a thing?
Well, originally it was to heal. Actually, originally it was to just prove that I'm better than you because I know that. But I started healing and then I switched to tank because of the instant queue. So I actually did heal for a little bit, but that was so many levels ago that the gear is just not there. And I've thankfully, unless you have a paladin, you know, another paladin healer, you don't have to worry about armor class for healing stuff.
Yeah.
So if there's int on plate, I can pretty much just pick it up for free.
You know, true story, Madrana healed everything from like Scarlet Monastery onwards, but in actual fact, I tanked stocks
Really?
back in the day. Yeah.
How come?
Because we didn't have a tank and I had Righteous Fury and this thing called Consecration.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been getting back into trying to figure out the whole holy thing, and I'm trying to stick to that as much as possible, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and I guess that your experience is a little bit different by virtue of PvP healing and not PvE healing. So I guess that my guide for Luby Pallies is not altogether helpful.
No, because things like Divine Light are not nearly as good as they should be.
Yeah, because it's just such a long cast. I guess you guys are really
Like
using
counterspell bait and
Flash of Light,
shocking and
Holy
Word of Glory,
Shock, and
pretty
Word of
much
Glory,
ex
yeah.
I wouldn't say exclusively, but I'm in a place right now where we're playing. The problem is that we're at 63, so we're in that bracket of 60 to 69, I guess. And so we just get like I've been two-shotted by like level 68 mages by Arcane Blast, and
Didn't they
dead.
change the brackets to like 60 to
Oh,
64 and
no,
65 to
maybe it was like
69?
maybe it was 64 or 65. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't 68. Maybe it felt like it was 68 because I just got annihilated. But I definitely actually got two-shotted by somebody and was pretty depressed.
You got beacon now, right?
I do have beacon.
Nice.
I'm still
That's
attempting
solid.
to figure out the best way in which to use it in a
Put
battlegrounds.
it on yourself.
See, that's what I'm thinking, because then I can continue to heal Fog and, you know, just heal him and hopefully not too many people on me, but if I take any collateral damage, I don't have to worry as much about it.
Yeah, because I mean, you're healing him, and if you're taking any damage, then not only are you getting 50% of the heals you're casting on him, but you're also getting all of your Protector of the Innocent heals as well,
True.
which does not proc when you heal yourself.
Right. I guess if you do have to heal yourself, then you pick up a couple extra holy power or whatnot anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's good.
Yeah, Word of Glory is going to get buffed in
Oh, really?
4.2.
It feels
30%
buffed.
stronger.
Really? That seems
Yeah.
ridiculous.
Well, it's because they want to make sure that for PvE content, people aren't using Light of Dawn, Glyph Light of Dawn as a tank heal, which is what they're currently doing.
Ah. Yeah, sadly, probably wouldn't be nearly as effective for Battlegrounds, but
No.
I'll take
So
it. That
Word of
seems like a
Glory
pretty
is pretty hot.
serious buff to PvP healing. What was I going to say? It's already felt like a buff because I've gone from prot back to holy, so there's no freaking cooldown
No
that there
cooldown,
was in
hooray!
prot because it was terrible going from no cooldown to the cooldown and then back to no cooldown again is great.
Cooldowns on that, it's so wrong.
Yeah, it's just awful. I could like solo tank, not like without a healer a bunch. So I kind of understand why they did it, I guess. But it makes me sad panda. Sad pandas.
So, was that it for your week?
Yeah, I think so. There was it was not full of excitement.
Yeah, I guess that wraps it up for Lore Master. Let's move over into Hot Fix, where we basically all we have to say is that there were no hot fixes this week.
Yay! Short hot fixes, because there
But
were none.
patch 4.2 is almost certainly dropping next week on June 21st, so next week will be us reviewing all of those changes.
Patch notes, hooray!
Hooray! So with that, we'll move over into slash raid, where we talk a bit about our raiding week. Madge, would you like to tell the good people what we did this week?
Conclave down, heroic
Yeah.
style. Yeah, boy. Oh my
Six
goodness.
of 13.
Thank goodness.
I'm
That
trying.
was interesting fight.
I'm trying really hard not to compare us to, say, Big Crits, who on the same night that we got Conclave down, they got Sinestra down.
Well, then I wouldn't compare because clearly they got Sinestro down.
Yeah, that's so big grats to them, but big grats to us moving to 6 of 13, and we will I don't know. I'm thinking we'll probably spend a bit more time on heroic VNT this week.
Interesting. I love
Maybe.
OBS though. I want to do OBS.
I think that our chances of success between heroic ODS and heroic VNT are probably much better with heroic VNT.
I guess that's true. How were the attempts last night? I actually wasn't in at that point.
They were okay. We figured out that having a delayed stack of the Twilight buff on one of the tanks, like having, for example, Lude go in and grab a stack and then having Dayden take the rest of the stacks, really makes it a lot easier in terms of transitioning people down into the Twilight Zone.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it was a nice bit of time spent there, but honestly, I think we spent 4.5 hours this week on Hero Conclave. And got him down. And I gotta say, I'm really stunned. Not that we got it down, but at how few people seem to go for Conclave. It's really not a difficult encounter. The only thing that sucks is coordinating everything and everyone.
Well, I mean, once we started rolling on it, I feel like the attempt wasn't, it wasn't even building up. I feel like it was just the one attempt where it just got knocked out. Just the one time everything went perfectly and just done.
Well, except at the very end, it wasn't going perfectly because Chanel, who was our kiter on Anshal, died.
Well,
But,
yeah,
like, I
everything.
don't even know what happened. Were you over there or were you still over on Rohash?
I was dead, actually. I died a little early. Funny story. Actually, not
Excellent.
that funny. I was dead. End of story.
Great
Just tell that
story.
story at parties. But no, I was dead on Vizier's platform, unfortunately.
Gotcha. Yeah, that there was a lot of damage on that last ultimate, and then like Chanel died over on Anshal, and I'm like, oh crap! And then I heard like calls for like traps or rings or something like that, and I'm like, oh man, are we actually going to do this? And I was staying over on Nazir because the Nazir healers were down, so I'm healing like the Nazir tank, and like we get Nazir down, and then they all book it to Anshal, and next thing you know, Chanel's dead, and then finally. Like just as like everything is about to blow up in everyone's face, bam, dead.
Was good. I
Epic.
actually I didn't know how close Mizir or whatever. You know, I was again, I was dead, so I wasn't able to watch everything going down. But so did all the DPS just stayed on Mizir until we flipped to the outside, right? Or did Mizir not go down before people went back to Rohash?
Nazir went. Ooh, how did that go? I think Nazir went down and then people went back to their other platforms.
Oh, okay. So I know Rohash was pretty close to dead before we flipped back to or Rohash was almost dead before we flipped back to Nazir. But yes.
I
Good
gotta
stuff.
say that the big bonus for me here is having done that with approximately one reset left before 4.2. Generally, like to me, that means we don't ever need to do that crap again.
That's true.
Makes
It is
me
dead.
happy.
Forever.
So yeah, Hero Conclave down, we are 6 of 13. I would like to send a special welcome out to Hitoku, who is our brand new Moonkin. They do exist, folks. They do exist.
Hooray!
Hooray.
So I guess we're not actually recruiting any kids anymore
We
for
would
now.
take a second Moonkin for sure. The casters, I don't know if you've noticed, are really rather cloth based.
Yeah, well, a lot of them are.
Yeah, and a fair number of them are on my token, so let's spread that love around. We've also opened up a tank spot. If you are a protection warrior, a feral tank druid, a blood death knight, or a protection paladin, although we would prefer that you not be a pally, but we would take you anyway. We are definitely looking for another tank for the upcoming Firelands content. Unfortunately, my brother Fog, due to various real life commitments and other such things, has decided to step down at the end of this tier. He'll stick around and make sure that we get a replacement for him. But let's see some apps at apotheosis-now.com.
I guess there's no longer a holy paladin opening at choiceguild.com.
There is not.
Oh my goodness.
There are other openings though, choiceguild.com. Check them out. Now, you know what? Now I don't feel so bad about pimping them out because I'm actually part of the guild.
Well, it's okay because it's a thing now, so we don't have to worry
It
about it
is a
that
thing
much.
now. I really need to sit down and make a bumper for it.
Oh God.
Like with a jingle or something.
Let's all go to choiceguild.com. No, okay,
That's it right there.
damn it.
All right, so yeah, definitely check out choiceguild.com and apotheosis-now.com for their recruitment openings. We would love to see you throw in an app.
And I guess with that, we'll move on into our guild app, for which we have an exciting guest today, don't we?
We do have an exciting guest. Our exciting guest is Beru of the blog Falling Leaves and Wings. That's fallingleavesandwings.wordpress.com.
You said it correctly.
I did. And she's also from the guild Monolith over on the US Lane server. And she is, unfortunately for me, she is a hoardie.
That makes you sad, Panda.
It
Or cow.
does. It does make me sad. But welcome, Barry. Thank you very much for coming on to the show today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. If it makes you feel any better, I actually started playing WoW back on release as a night elf. So,
Yes.
there's a
Only
little
half
bit of
orc.
alliance in me, but for the past, I don't know, 5.5 years, I've definitely favored the side with cookies.
The side with cookies? Is that what the word referred to themselves as?
Well, it's the dark side, and the dark side has cookies to entice you, so.
I do love cookies. I'm concerned.
Hey, no. Oh boy, okay, yeah. So, for our guild tab, let's start out with a couple questions here. Let's have you tell us a little bit about your team's history. Why Barry? Why a night elf to begin with, and now why a troll?
Well, so when I started playing WoW, it was back at release, and I didn't really know anything at all about the game. And so I actually started similar to as a night elf hunter. I chose a hunter because I wanted a pet because I thought that was pretty cool. And I will sadly say that I wanted a night elf because, like the masses, I wanted to be pretty and was a huge Lord of the Rings fan. My night elf even shamefully had a Lord of the Rings name. And actually, believe it or not, Baruthiel, which is my full name, is also a derivative of Lord of the Rings, albeit from a very tiny little footnote in one of the stories. But so
Awesome.
that's how I started out on the Alliance, and then after a number of things, I ended up switching to what was at the time my PvP tune. And believe it or not, I actually PvP'd quite a bit back in vanilla. And I will tell you, there's nothing more painful than having ground out Exalted in Alterac Valley as a resto druid in vanilla WoW. No one will
Wow.
convince me of anything otherwise. So,
I believe it.
that's rough. Wow, grats.
but then why I'm a troll now is basically it's kind of a funny story. I actually hate the Tauren casting model.
You
The
know, I feel
female
like you do
Tauren
that
one.
often, casting.
Yeah, it's horrible. So throughout all of vanilla, I actually raided with Deviant Fish. Like it was just a raid consumable for me. After every wipe, I'd pop a new Deviant Fish so that I didn't have to look at my casting model.
Wow.
And so when we were able to race change to troll, it was kind of a no-brainer because they had taken away Tree of Life, so I couldn't hide my ugly cow anymore. And so I have a couple other trolls, like my shaman is a troll and my death knight is a troll. So it was pretty easy to make the switch over to the Kool-Aid cat.
Nice.
Very nice. I have to ask a follow-up there. How do you feel about the new Tree of Life form versus the old one that clearly you were very comfortable with?
You know, a lot of people were really strongly against it. I thought it looked a little weird, like kind of 1960s, 1970s hippie-ish. Like, it's totally the kind of thing I would have expected to see if I had, like, been at Woodstock. But, I mean, I use it mostly because I prefer my swim speed glyph over the Tree of Life glyph. So I'm not strongly against it, but I'm not strongly in favor of it either.
Fair enough.
I guess our second question will be, what is your favorite memory in WoW?
I'd have to say probably my favorite memory in WoW is killing C'Thun. It's actually kind of a bittersweet memory because shortly after we killed C'Thun, we had our guild split, which is a lot of painful memories for me. But definitely probably the highlight of things that I could say I have accomplished is definitely killing the original iteration of C'Thun. It was something very few guilds did across the world because Naxx had come out pretty closely after AQ40 had been released, and a lot of people did not deem AQ40 to be worth the trouble. There's jokes about, you know, the C'Thun trash being a boss, which is somewhat true. We had people that would basically AFK and just not even deal with the trash because it was so terrible. So I think probably my best memory would definitely be our first C'Thun kill.
Nice. That's actually a solid kind of memory. Upset I never got to fight C'Thun because that fight looked awesome.
Oh, it was awesome until you die for about the 100th time from people running in front of the door.
That does sound like it could be kind of annoying.
Definitely lost its allure at that point.
Oh, that's too bad. I guess normally we'd ask here something about apotheosis, but so our question is why you joined Monolith?
Well, I've actually been with Monolith for the majority of my WoW career. Like I said, I started on the Alliance, and I actually raided up until the Twin Emperors on Alliance. And then I went through a number of life changes as well as some issues with my guild that I was currently in, and I was part of the Officer Corps in, and I basically decided that I needed just a change overall. So, you know, I left that guild and I had a number of other Alliance guilds that were interested. And I, you know, just kind of going with the theme of change, decided I was going to focus on PvP for a while. And I actually spent probably 3 or 4 months in vanilla where I did nothing but PvP.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure that there was a point in my WoW career that if it was a Warsong Gulch weekend, I thought I was going to jump out the window because I was running so many flags. But at that point, then I'd already had some contacts and friends on the Horde side on our server. And, you know, I was really frustrated with a lot of things, and they sort of listened and they were looking for healers and gradually sort of coerced me into getting back into the raiding scene. And so I, you know, decided, okay, why not? I missed it. So I joined Monolith as they were actually a boss or two back from where I was when I left the Alliance, and never looked back since.
That's excellent. It's so rare these days to find someone who stays with a guild for, you know, so long, especially after the era of Wrath, where it was, you know, a sort of revolving door of guilds for a lot of people.
There's definitely, don't get me wrong, been times where I'm like, I'm really sick of this sh- and I'm ready, you know, I definitely have asked myself, you know, at what point am I too old for this, or at what point have I outgrown it, or how much more can I deal with? But, you know, in that process, it's kind of circular, and, you know, you always start with a frustration. And then as you go through the process of thinking through everything, it always ends up coming back to being, well, you know, I remember the bad things very easily, and sometimes it's quite easy to forget all the fantastic things until you start, you know, thinking about what you would do without, you know. And then once you start thinking about that, you're like, you know, I would miss this or I would miss that. And so it's sometimes been more struggling than others. There was definitely a time when we were rebuilding during the Burning Crusade where it was extraordinarily difficult. The guild that had split up from us was not making our life very easy. And there's a lot to be said about having stamina and perseverance, for sure. And I have it thus so far. And every time I've asked myself, you know, am I done with this? I always come back to, you know, the answer being no and digging in for another round of content.
Excellent. That really, I mean, my hat's off to anybody who can stick around the same people for 4 years. yeah. So, let's see. What do you like to do in game besides raid? Which I might add, you do quite well. I believe you just down Sinestro.
We did. In typical Monolith style, which is, I also understand, is Apotheosis style of being the last pull of the night. having had a 10% wipe and then a 16% wipe earlier in the night, at the very last pull, we managed to get her down. So that was really exciting for everybody. Thank you. Outside of raiding, I like alts a lot. I spent a lot of time on Baru this expansion on archaeology, but I'd rather not talk about that because it's not a very pleasant memory. So...
Magic
we'll just
understand.
Discuss. Yeah, we'll just discuss my alts. I generally try to level one of each healing class just so that I have a feel for the strengths and weaknesses of each healer that we work with in our raids. This expansion, though, I haven't leveled as many alts early on as I have. So I have my paladin at level 85, and she's 12 of 12 in normals, but I'm pretty much too chicken to try any heroics with her in our 10-man alt group. And then I'm working on my second druid right now, who is 84 and a half. So she'll ding 85 either tonight or tomorrow, depending on how lazy I end up getting.
That is awesome. You see, I'm not the only person who's crazy enough.
Stop trying to make yourself feel better.
Yeah, I'm told that I'm absolutely insane for having a second paladin now at 85. But
well,
see, other people
say the reason for having the second paladin.
No, but that's a whole other story.
No, it's not. It's part of the same story.
To go raid with another guild. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Concurrently, it's not on the same raid nights, thankfully. But I'm not that nuts. But yes.
Anyway.
But you see, I'm not the only one. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, actually, Vidalia actually did a really great post on how relearning your character through an alt and leveling in an alt can be really beneficial to learning more about your character as a whole. And so I don't think it's all bad. There's definitely some good for it.
Yeah, I read that too. That was a really good post. So alts. Alts are definitely something to do in this game, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I also spend a lot of time AFK in Orgrimmar, so, you know.
Or, you know, running circles around Ironforge. Like, I understand yeah.
that's something I, for some reason, have a habit of doing.
Yeah, I have a spot in Org that I like to sit outside of the rear bank, and there's, like, these little beetles that skitter around, and it drives Braid nuts, because all he can hear is, like, the little click-clack of the beetles, and he's like, why do you have to sit there? So I always kill the beetles with Moonfire when I am not AFK, so he doesn't have to listen to them.
Nice.
Seems hilarious.
I'm quite amused. Alrighty, our quirky question for you, which I apologize is not altogether quirky. You are quite a prominent WoW blogger, and as I said before, your blog's name is Falling Leaves and Wings. For some reason, unfortunately, I always end up saying Falling Leaves and Trees, for which I apologize. But because I have such an issue in remembering it's wings and not trees, can you maybe give us a little bit of background on why you named your blog as you did?
So when I started blogging, it was my intent to do some in-depth druid stuff and some in-depth paladin stuff. And so the falling leaves is supposed to be a nod to the druid portion of it, and the wings is supposed to be a nod to the paladin portion of it. But the paladin portion of it really never took off, but the name kind of stuck. And I've heard tons of tree variations on what the wings part should be. Like, I've heard twigs and trees and lots of different things. So I've actually been tempted to take the and wings part off of it, but I've been blogging for, I don't know, like 2.5 years now. So I'm kind of like, well, it is what it is. And the paladin part never really stuck, but I still play the paladin, so it's totally fine.
That's awesome. I never even thought about that as being a nod to Avenging Wrath I don't think I've seen anything about paladins apart from like maybe a mention or two of your Palialt on your blog, but very cool. I will now remember the wings.
There you go.
I think I did a gear guide at the beginning of Wrath, like for what to gear going into it, and then it just kind of dropped off. I mean, I actually heal with my paladin quite a bit. I have the 10-man Wrath of the Lich King Drake on her and the Old War Drake on her, as well as various other sort of achievements with her, but I just don't have a lot to say about her. I mean, I'm a solid paladin, but I'm certainly not fantastic, and so I just sort of stuck with what I was comfortable with talking about.
That's very cool. I similar to you, I have a bunch of other healing ults, again, for the same reason, to get a better idea and understanding of how the other teams work, except I haven't leveled any of them to 85 except for my shaman, and I haven't done anything with my shaman. Like, it was literally all herbalism and mining that got me there. To hear that you've got like another healing ult up at 85, who's 12 of 12, even in normal modes, like, props to you.
Well, this is how 12 of 12 goes when you raid with your significant other, who's the tank that kites the constructs on Nefarian. You need another cooldown, damn it, now! It needs to happen now! And then from the other end, it's like, I don't have anything left! And so for about the last 3 minutes of the fight, that's what happens in the household here.
That's excellent.
That's awesome.
And that'll bring us into general chat. Our general chat topic is the legendary.
Dun, dun, dun.
Magic, do you actually know what the name of the legendary staff is?
It has to do with the dragon.
It does.
Dragons.
Oh, God, there it is.
Yeah, there it is.
You only get bonus points if you know the history behind it. So I think if you don't know the lore, that probably excludes you from being a contender.
Oh my goodness.
So Magic is screwed. That's awesome.
So Magic does... that's it. I'm screwed.
The legendary staff that will be attainable in 4.2 content is called Dragonwrath Terragoza's Rest. And one of the procs is it turns you into Blue Dragon, I believe?
Yep.
That sounds dragon. Pretty cool. It makes me wish that I could wield the staff on my paladin.
But you can't.
But I can't. But if I could, it would totally be mine.
Nice.
Yes. No, but in all seriousness, folks, do not make the mistake of giving this to a healer. I love my healers. I know Beru loves her healers. But yeah, don't give it to a healer. It is definitely a caster staff. And having said that, don't just stop at mages and warlocks and shadow priests. There are also elemental shamans and moonkins to consider, because they can all use staves. Having said that, the process of giving out a legendary is something that I have never actually had to organize, much to my relief. Unfortunately, for 4.2, which, as we said, is probably coming out next week, we've found ourselves right smack dab in the middle of this mess, so to speak. Beru here has given out what seems like a gajillion legendaries over the years. Bajillion, there you go. Three Thunder Furies, I believe you said, and that's just to start.
We have a whole armory. We actually, when we did our last Shadowmourne, our second to last Shadowmourne, we used one of the quotes from the Three Amigos where they talk about having a plethora of weapons. So we've done quite a fair few of them.
Yeah. So obviously you guys have a pretty good process. And as sort of newer kids on the block when it comes to handing these things out, I just wanted to talk a little bit about what we're going to be looking at, and that is performance and attendance, participation and attitude. And while obviously we find that performance and attendance are really important factors, we don't want to discount such things as participation, and that's in our raid review threads, in our EP drives, and attitude. Like, nobody likes a negative Nancy, you know? Like, if you don't say a lot, okay, that's fine. I wouldn't really hold that against someone. But negative Nancys make me a sad panda. Yeah. So that's the sort of thing that we're looking at. And I'm not really sure, Beru, but maybe you could let us know what sort of criteria you were looking at.
Sure. The first thing I'll say is whatever method you use to distribute the weapon, you should be 100% transparent so that everybody knows what you looked at and how you came to your decision. And that's just going to solve a lot of trouble. As far as everything goes, we are using similar factors to you in four, I guess if you count the original, it's four expansions of World of Warcraft. We have officer awarded every legendary, with the exception of Thrandall, just because we never saw it. And it's always gone very well, and we've never had any complaints about it. We use attendance, especially with fragment gathered legendaries, because obviously if you want to have somebody that's going to efficiently create the legendary, they're going to have to be someone who is almost there 100% of the time, or you're going to end up with one person holding, 10 fragments and one person holding 20 fragments, and you're going to have effectually made like four legendaries before you have one created because of the fragments not all going to the same place. We also look at attitude just because, like you said, it's really important. The legendary, my philosophy is that it's not just for the person in the guild that's receiving it, but it's an achievement for the guild as a whole. So you want it to go to someone that represents the guild. And in this case, it's even more so an achievement for the guild because once it gets created, everyone gets like a little pet, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's right, eh?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so it's really important to us that it's somebody that represents the guild and is going to be there through the duration of this expansion for the guild to get the most out of the weapon. I mean, if you think about it, if you look at, say, vanilla, warriors used Thunder Fury up through Karazhan in the Burning Crusade until Blizzard nerfed it because they realized that if they didn't, they were going to have warriors going back to farm Thunder Fury. Healers used Valinor till the end of Wrath of the Lich King, even though it came out in the second content patch of that expansion. So it really is important to us that it's going to be a solid member of the guild who is going to be there for a long period of time. And it should be someone that has a positive attitude that shows up on a night when you're going to wipe, 30 times to Syndragosa and be like, I need one more pull, So to me, that's really important. We are also going to look at performance. While it's not the only factor, obviously, it's a factor. We feel that it should be awarded to somebody who puts time and effort into their class and is a performer. So, the effort can be shown in many ways, and one is obviously in their performance. We also look at accountability. Do they fess up to their mistakes? Do they try to better themselves on a regular basis? We look at length of time in the guild. We've been a guild since day one of World of Warcraft. So if we have someone that's only been in the guild for, say 6 months versus someone that's been in the guild for 5 years, that obviously is going to make a bit of a difference as well. And then we also look at how helpful they are outside of raids. That's not a huge factor, but it certainly plays a part. If we have someone who signs up for raids on off nights, always offers to help guildmates, is farming fish for fish feasts, is contributing herbs or gold to the guild bank on a regular basis, those are things to me that show steps above and beyond for their dedication to the guild. And I think that those are the kinds of things that also should be rewarded. So what we do is we take these factors and we go through every eligible member of our progression raid team. And as an officer team, we all give feedback on each and every member and where we feel they fit. And 9 times out of 10, the leadership is 100% in agreement with where it should go. Sometimes there's, you know, a little bit of back and forth on, you know, small things, but usually everyone agrees. There's usually one outstanding contender once you filter them through sort of all of the standards that we've set for it. And it's always worked out really, really well for us.
That's a really long and involved process, I would imagine. My question as a guildmaster is, how do you get your officers to, you know, pitch in and do all that work with you?
I call them at home and harass them until they give me what I want.
That is a good wow. idea.
To be perfectly honest with you, we have a pretty small officer corps, and I've met all of them in real life. So it really isn't a big deal for me to call and be like, Ryan, you have not answered my question yet. You need to fix that. And so I'm comfortable doing that. I know that wouldn't be the case for, you know, everybody, that they may not have that level of comfort or whatnot with all of their guildmates, or, you know, maybe they don't feel comfortable calling them and hounding them like I do. But I've actually been playing with our other, we have two officers, myself and then Braid, who's the guildmaster. And I've actually been playing with them for over 5 years. So you kind of get to know people really well in that amount of time, which helps quite a bit.
Yeah, or it could be the worst thing that ever happened to you, as is the case with me in Magic.
Nice. That is very happy. Thank you.
You like that one? I tried with that one.
Wonderful.
That seems like a really obviously to similar sort of set of criteria for me, and I can only imagine that that kind of criteria is what every guildmaster sort of aspires, that they can give, like, you know, find someone in their guild who represents the vast majority of those things that we just discussed. Personally, I'm a huge fan of loyalty. I find, a loyal guildie is, you know, there's no real comparison. If you don't have a loyal group of people, then, who are willing to stick with you through thick and thin, then you don't really have much of a guild. And so I wish that I could, take longevity into the guild, as a factor. But unfortunately, since we just like really reformed after basically taking Wrath of the Lich King off, it wouldn't be fair for us to, you know, give Magic extra points just because he knew about us like 4 years ago, and in fact, like helped form the guild. Like, that's a really steep uphill climb for anyone else, which I find is unfortunate. But maybe for another legendary, if we will be having another legendary this expansion, maybe we'll be able to take that in as a factor.
Yeah, for sure. In previous ones, like for example, in our Valinor discussion, and I'll air a little bit of dirty laundry here, we actually put loyalty as one of our bullet points when we kind of announced to everybody these are the factors we looked at. And it was because we actually had a holy paladin that every time she was unhappy with something, she threatened to quit. And the bottom line was, you know, whether you're honest about it or not, if you threaten to quit one time, what on earth makes you think you're deserving of something like a legendary weapon? And she actually got to the point where she said, well, if I don't get XYZ, I'm going to quit. And I said to her, you know what? The next time you threaten to quit my guild, it's not going to be in your hands anymore.
Oh.
But at that point, and it's true. If you've done selfish things like rage quit or quit in the middle of a raid because you're frustrated, those are negatives. Those are things I know when I've talked through, you know, all of our casters, certainly any kind of things like that come to memory were brought up by me as, you know, a negative against, their chances at being in line for the legendary, because, you know, someone who threatens to quit or rage quits is someone who potentially is, you know, going to leave and not come back or stick around.
Yeah, I absolutely agree that that's a concern, especially for, my group, which hasn't had a lot of time to sort of I guess gel. I feel like we've done a good job, but there are still newer people to the group and people who maybe haven't quite made their own little niche in the guild. And it's like, well, we're gonna give out a legendary here, and should I really worry all that much about, how this person might leave like 3 weeks from now, or this person? And so I'm trying really hard not to let that the specter of people leaving really have an effect on my personal decision. But yeah, it's a group decision. So, I mean, if it's something that the group is going to find troubling, then I guess it'll be more of a factor than if it's just me.
Yeah, and something that has been extremely challenging this expansion is just being able to hold together at all. So anybody, including you, that's done it, I mean, kudos to you, because holding 25 people together for what has, in my experience, been the most challenging for guilds of any expansion is fantastic. And I probably wouldn't worry too much about if I don't give it to person X, will person, X leave the guild? Largely because we've always taken a front that loot is a tool that gets us where we need to go. It's not the reason we're, raiding, and we're pretty chill and relaxed about it. So as a whole, because when people come into the guild and come into the fold, they realize that, wow, these guys really mean that they don't care that much about loot. And everyone just kind of knows that it's fluid and it comes and it goes, and everyone will get their turn and shot at it. And the legendary is a little, more, a bigger step than that. But when push comes to shove, I would at least hope that everybody thinks that we're going to make a good decision. And the person that we've selected for it, I don't think anybody's going to complain when we announce that he's the one that we've decided is going to get the first one.
I think that that's really all anyone can hope for, is that, even if some people are disappointed, then, at least as long as there's no, public outcry, like, no way, not magic.
Well, we already determined he was ineligible because he didn't know the history, so you
Exactly.
know.
Exactly. I guess that's
So
not happening.
nobody should be shocked.
So sorry.
Sad pandas.
Honestly, the best part about this whole process and not being involved in it like I was for Valinir, is that I get to watch the casters squirm. I feel like at this point I could tell them to run a naked race from Booty Bay to like Stormwind or something, and they would do it.
Wow, you're a kind and generous leader.
Aren't I though? Aren't I? I mean, I haven't done this yet. I haven't made any outstandingly strange requests yet. But you never know.
Oh, you've got great restraint, because for the past month I've been like, you can send your bribes my way. I take gold, herbs.
I will take chocolate. We do on occasion call this blessing of chocolate instead of blessing of frost. I do take chocolate.
Chocolate would be good. I mean, there you go, magic. You could totally, recoup the fact that you don't know anything about Terragosa by bribing Kern with, boxes of Godiva.
Yeah, but I don't like her that much. So that seems out of the question. I like the legendary, but not enough to do anything for Kern.
Not enough to be
That's
nice to me.
strictly against the policy of me.
Your personal policy.
Exactly.
Well, Madge, you've been a little bit quiet here, probably just sitting there on pins and needles. How about you tell us a little bit what you think having a legendary awarded to you would mean to you?
Well, I mean,
Or, the average guildie.
Well, like Beru said, it's not, the legendary isn't going to make the person. You're not getting it because you believe, or the guild believes, that that person needs the extra damage or whatnot. It's more of a status thing. And like she said, it should exemplify, the person should sort of exemplify what the guild stands for, because it is not just the individuals. One person can't go in there and get a legendary. It's an impossibility. So it's I mean, I don't know. It's never having to think about it before this, like, you know, this legendary. It's not something that I've put a ton of thought into. Ever since it's been announced as a caster DPS thing, it's kind of been an interesting thing to look into. And it was originally a like some model for staff, but then I guess they changed it. It's been something to follow, but I don't know. My mind is not yet made up on how I really feel about the whole thing, I guess.
Are you saying that you don't want it?
That's not what I'm saying. let's not get our words confused here.
I'm just clarifying.
Oh, okay. But
I definitely think that it's very hard as part of the leadership to kind of, like, I sympathize a lot with Magic's position, because when Valinor came out, I was part of the decision-making process for that, and it was awkward. Like, anytime we award loot and raids and I win something, someone else has to award it to me. Like, I cannot award it to myself, because I feel strange being like, yeah. Oh, hey, go me, you know? So, but with Valinor, it ended up being between myself and our priest officer, and we actually had a phone call, and the two of us talked it out, and we decided that I would be getting it, and I was very nervous about that announcement being made to the guild. And I mean, when it was announced, you know, we reiterated all of the things that we went through in making the decision, and it turns out that with the exception of our one paladin, everybody thought I should have gotten it. So I ended up being really nervous for nothing, but I really was. I was like, you know, I felt a little bit greedy, you know, I felt like I'm in charge, and it felt awkward to have that sort of position of power, if you were, and then be receiving something that I truly felt I deserved. But on the other hand, it, you know, I almost felt like I should be obligated to pass it on because I was in a position of power. So you have my sympathies.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's not never an easy thing. I find that when you're in a leadership position, in a leadership role, and you know that you just genuinely do deserve something, whether it's, you know, a pair of bracers off of Cho'gall, or, you know, a legendary mace from Ulduar, you always have to think, well, okay, how is this going to look if I take this? Are people going to be supportive of my decision? Are they going to be, you know, angry with my decision? You know, I'm really glad that I've got nothing to worry about for myself in the near future. I see Magic's situation, and that's one of the reasons why he's just not permitted to be part of the process at all.
Well, yeah, that's the main reason that I've recused myself from dealing with this at all, is that it is kind of awkward, and I really don't want to, you know, have anything to do with it, because then I don't have to worry about any outside issues or anything like that, so.
Well, and it's hard to be objective while championing your own cause, you know, like, well, hi, I'm Magic, and, you know, let me tell you about why I deserve this, and I totally get it.
Yeah, it's even kind of hard, I think, for the other officers. As an officer, you've got to just, like, you know, stop your own personal feelings from interfering with a lot of things. So I think a lot of us are really practiced at that at this point. But, you know, I've known Magic for like 4 years. I have a bias towards Magic, and I'm freely admitting that, because as a sociologist, I was taught that as long as I identify my bias and work around my bias and declare my bias, then I don't have to worry too much about how that's going to be perceived. As long as I'm open about it and transparent, like you were saying earlier, then, you know, we can work around that sort of thing.
Well, that's the name of the game, I think, is transparency, because that's, as long as everyone knows what's going on and why, you know, X, Y, and Z is happening and selected, then, you know, what more can you do past that?
Absolutely. And so transparency is a big thing. Also a big thing, planning. I was in a guild on Bronzebeard for Ulduar, and we walk in there on the first night, and they had already decided who was going to get Valinor, and I was the second person in line. So we had a holy priest in ahead of me, then we had me, and then we had I don't even know who. And we go in, and we like three shot, I think, Flame Leviathan, and there's a fragment. It kind of caught us off guard, and everyone was really relieved that they already knew where that was going. So that's something that I would have to say. If you guys have not yet started figuring out who's gonna get your legendary staff, make a decision before you step foot into the instance. The last thing you want to do is like roll on it in the instance.
Well, I saw it. You posted about it on Twitter a little while ago, and I thought we read a few horror stories of exactly that happening.
Yeah, for sure.
I know Borsk, I don't remember if it's on his blog or on Twitter today, Borsk had said, you know, they had not had a plan for their first Valinor fragment and went in, and one dropped off Flame Leviathan, and they were like, oh man, you know, because what do we do now? And they said, you know, they did loot via a modified type of DKP system, and they ended up kind of going with that because that's all they had. But when it would have gone potentially to an unworthy candidate, you know, they were very quick with all their legendaries after that to have a plan in place so that that was never a risk ever again.
So that's definitely a piece of advice. So yeah, be transparent. That's great advice. And be organized. It will almost certainly drop this coming Tuesday, the 21st of June. So be sure you know what's going on before then.
Bribe your guild leader with lots of chocolate.
Chocolate is good. Oh, yes. Having said that, I know that I proposed to my officers probably about a month and a half ago, because I'm a planner. A really involved, in-depth process, which they categorically just denied. They were like, no, we're not doing it this way. I'm like, fine. I spent a lot of time on it, and I'm kind of annoyed that we're not going to be using my system. But I think that when you're trying to work out your process, I think it's really important that you build it together as a team and don't just like rely on any one person to bring a pre-made process to you. For example, like mine included interviews on Mumble, possibly a written essay, and a bunch of other stuff like that. So obviously my officers didn't feel that was necessary. They didn't feel that the guildies would find it necessary. And ultimately, while I'm still kind of annoyed, I do agree with them in the end. Because I think that we understand how our guildies feel and the like about such things. So while I don't think that's necessarily... what needs to be done, I do believe that building the process together as, you know, the selection committee, basically, whether it's your officers or your officers plus guildies or just a subsection of your officers, I think that building that process together is really important. It's also a team building experience, I think.
Man, if I had to write an essay, it would go like this. Dear Kern, I are Purple Dragon. Roar! Love, Beru.
Yes.
I like
that
it. It's good.
Perfect.
That is win right there.
Right to the point.
I think I would give it to Beru over Magic at this point.
Excellent.
I would have also bribed her with chocolate, so you know.
Excellent. See,
that.
When people care about their tune, they will go out of their way.
To bribe people with chocolate?
Exactly.
Ah.
It's definitely going to be a very interesting expansion. I do have one other question for you, Beru, about this. How are you dealing with the possibility of a second, and like, how many do you think might get crafted?
That's a really tough question. It's hard to tell because it's the second content tier for this expansion. So there's a finite amount of time that you're going to have to work the content. When we made Valinor, we crafted two when the content was in its prime, and then one when we went back to farm Mimiron's head for people. And we actually spent extra time in the zone crafting the second one because we started it and we said we were going to finish it. So that took, it's kind of twofold, because Trial of the Crayon Crusader came out after Old War and was kind of a flat instance, so it wasn't real hard to get people to go back to Old War because we had some time. But then we crafted something like 4 Shadowmourns, and we're working on a 5th for a tank because we ran out of people to give them to by the time ICC ended. So we've actually planned the first one and the second one, and we have contenders in line for a 3rd one. I suspect we won't see more than 2, but I'm not sure, because they did indicate that the 25-man would have a slightly higher drop rate. So I really don't know, but we've planned for at least 2 and the potential of seeing a 3rd.
Excellent. Good stuff. And the selection process was the same for the other 2 people that you sort of planned out?
It was, and we actually sort of numbered them. It was all part of the same selection process. Like, we, going into it, we knew that we'd see more than one. So we said, okay, here's would be our first one. And you should always, 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 always have a second person, even if you don't know anything beyond that, because it'll be inevitable that the first person will miss a raid and a fragment will drop.
Absolutely. That's how I ended up with 3 fragments of Valinir in my bank.
Yeah, so that's almost as important as having a game plan going in, is to know who your runner-up is, or your, I guess runner-up's kind of negative, who your second lucky person is, so that, you know, if a fragment drops. So we've planned out definitely 2 and are anticipating a 3rd, and we'll, you know, before the first one is complete, so once the first one's complete and the second one is starting to be made, we'll make a final decision on where the 3rd one will go, so that, you know, if the second person making it is absent, then we have someone to start picking up their fragments on that night.
Excellent. That, ladies and gentlemen, is good planning and just good common sense, I find. But this is the type of stuff that, you know, you walk into the instance and you're not prepared to deal with stuff like that's just nightmarish. But, you know, with a little bit of effort beforehand, you don't have that, oh crap, who do I give this to?
Yeah, and you definitely have a much more zen approach about acknowledging sort of where your, I don't know if favorites are a good word, but I mean, you had commented that, you know, you had a bit of loyalty and whatnot towards Magic, and, you know, you talked about how you recognize that, and, you know, being a sociologist, the first step of that is, you know, acknowledging it so that you can get past it. Well, I'm an attorney. And what they teach you in law school is winning. So I unfortunately do not have quite the same zen feeling about it as you do. So I do definitely applaud you for being able to kind of acknowledge that and take a step back and look at it probably a little more objectively than even I would be able to.
Oh, well, thanks. It's definitely going to be an experience, I think. We just hammered out the majority of our process at our officer meeting yesterday. So we know which among us are going to be deciding, and we know what criteria we're going to look at. And we've already announced all of that to the guild. And then it's really just going to be 4 of us just talking about the 8 contenders we currently have. And so I'm trying to keep an open mind about everything and everyone, and I'm really glad I'm not alone in the decision-making process, because I think that would have driven me to drinking.
Wonderful. As long as it was chocolate milk.
Exactly.
Oh my god, that sounds awesome.
Or you could get started on some Godiva liqueur.
Chocolate milk sounds so much better. I'm not gonna lie, sounds awesome right now.
You could bake chocolate milk with Godiva liqueur.
Damn.
Oh. Okay, we may be on to something. Tune in next week for Blessing of Chocolate Liqueur.
Delicious.
And that'll bring us out into our shoutouts. My shoutout this week is to Apotheosis for going 6 of 13. Way to go on Conclave, guys. That was a sort of out of nowhere kill, but very pleased to be there nonetheless.
My shout out is actually to an ex-guildmate who has retired from the game named LaShaw. He keeps me grounded even when he's not there, and so I'm very grateful for that and the objective ear he frequently offers me.
Oh, that's awesome.
My shout out this week is, I think this is probably a repeat, is Sarah for recently mailing me three pieces of holy level 85, you know, the crafted gear.
Yeah.
So she mailed me three of the PvP pieces. I think it's shoulder or belt, boots, and something else. I don't even know, but you're awesome. Go Carl Ramrod.
I'm not even going to ask.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. So our tip of the week this week is know who is going to get your first legendary before you step into Firelands. I can't stress that enough. And we'd love to hear your tips of the week. If you have any you'd like to share or any feedback you might have, email us at podcast@blessingoffrost.com. Let us know what you thought. You can also follow Apotheosis and myself on Twitter. Follow at ApotheosisET and at Kernmoog. Leave comments and please do rate us up on iTunes. Baru, thanks very much for joining us today. I know it was a bit last minute, so I really appreciate you coming onto the show. Do you have anything you'd like to pimp out?
I guess as far as pimpage goes, we are looking for one Resto Shaman, the only open spot on our raid roster currently as we go into Firelands. So feel free to visit monolithwow.com and see what we're all about if you think you might be interested.
Remember, they just killed Sinestro. Grats on that, and I foresee wonderful things for you in Firelands.
I hope so. I have my fingers crossed anyways. It was a blast being here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you're quite welcome.
Glad to have you.
That'll bring us to the end of our 23rd episode. I'm Kern.
I'm Baru.
And I'm Magic.
Until next time, stay frosty.
Blessing of Frost is a not-for-profit World of Warcraft podcast by Kern and Magic, copyright 2011. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks to our Gildy Numenal for the use of his voice in our intro, and thanks to you for listening.